Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, everybody, we took this week off, but we're going to share one of our classic episodes. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. Okay. I'm your host, Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
the jolly and always energetic Matthew House.
You sound energetic, Matt.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
No.
What's wrong, man? What's wrong?
The movie we watched, I did not like it.
What movie was that, Matt?
You gotta make me say it. Benchwarmers 2, Breaking Balls.
Yes. Because we didn't quite say enough with Benchwarmers 1. They needed to make a sequel.
Yep.
Direct-to-video sequel, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out in 2019.
It's a new one.
Yeah, in January of 2019 is one of the newest movies.
So it's only like 2 months old.
As we record this.
Mm.
Yes. Got to remember, Matt, this might not air for a year.
I always
By the way, behind the scenes, folks, we're banking a bunch of episodes.
Yeah.
So, this movie was... directed by Jonathan A. Rosenbaum and he is known for directing such great things as a bunch of Disney Channel shows. Basically, that's all I've really seen on his thing. He's got like Girl Meets World and Casey Undercover, and he also directed a previous movie that we watched on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Cop and a Half, New Recruit.
That one wasn't that bad, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't. He's been directing for quite a while, for like 20-some years, so... yeah.
And the writer...
yeah, the writer of this film is Stephen Mazur, who wrote Liar Liar, you know, Heartbreakers. Those are both decent movies. He also wrote Without a Paddle, Nature's Calling, and Matt's favorite movie of all time, Jingle All the Way 2.
Mm.
I don't understand why. Okay, it's weird how we keep running into the same people working on these projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange on all these direct-to-video sequels.
It's because they, it's like just like networking, you know. It's like you find who you like, and you're just like, hey, you want to work on this next project, and then they just get the same like 15 people. I mean, what's next? Are we gonna get, you know, Jingle All the Way 3? with Hulk Hogan or something like that, or
no,
okay.
And we will not.
Or The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, you know.
No, that would actually be good.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, I don't think he would replace Larry the Cable Guy in a movie, because Larry already replaced him in a movie.
That's right, he did.
And Tooth Fairy. Yep. Anyways, yep.
No, that's my favorite movie, The Tooth Fairy 2.
Oh, yeah.
Not Jingle All the Way 2.
No.
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 That's my favorite one.
Yes. So,
Fat Man and Hagen.
Yes. So, this movie.
It is in existence. It exists.
Here is the short synopsis of the movie. A freak accident ruins a guy's chances at playing professional baseball. He joins a competitive softball league for lawyers. That is the description.
That's awesome. That should be the whole. Yeah, that should be it. That should be the whole description right there.
Yes. That is the description that they give us on the Internet Movie Database.
And it's not even true, really. For one thing, the accident didn't actually permanently injure him from playing baseball. So
they messed it up a little bit the fact that he couldn't get signed to a league.
Initially, major league. But it wasn't like he was.
But he gave up because it psychologically damaged him.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so that did hurt him.
I guess, but
it didn't physically prevent him from playing baseball. It just mentally prevented him from playing baseball, because what happens, folks, is if the title didn't give it away, Breaking Balls, the star of the film, Chris Klein from American Pie fame, and The Flash. And I'm sure he's been in other things, too, but
he's been in a bunch of stuff.
And he's famous for spending a whole Mudhens game talking to my dad.
Is he famous for that, or?
No, just to me.
Oh, okay.
Yes. My dad used to be a bartender at the Toledo Mudhens games, and back when Chris Klein was dating Katie Holmes, they came to a baseball game, and Chris just asked my dad, "Is like, hey, is it cool if I just hang out here by the bar with you for the game?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And so he just sat there and talked to my dad for like few innings of the game or something. So yeah,
so that's what. So when you go to his Wikipedia page, it says, you know, American Pie 1 through 3, or also all of them.
And no, he's in 1, 2 and 4.
1, 2 and 4.
Yes.
And then also, 1, 2 and 4, bunch of other stuff. And he talked to your dad at a Mudhens scheme. It's going to be on the, you know, what he's known for.
Yes.
The conversation he had.
Yes. He talked to Michael Edward Cullen I.
Yeah. About a bunch of stuff. Just shooting. Just talk about life.
And my dad had no clue who the hell he was.
Right. Which makes it even cooler.
Yeah.
So it stars him.
Yes.
And then also John Lovitz is in it.
Yes. And Lachlan Monroe, who is currently on Riverdale, I believe, and some other things. But yeah. Anyways, he's a Canadian actor who's been in like everything shot in Canada, including Riverdale. Anyways, there's a connection there. Chris Klein and him are both on shows produced by Greg Berlanti.
Oh, see?
Because, you know, Greg Berlanti produces Riverdale and The Flash.
See? So, it's a networking. It works.
It works.
And that's a good sign, though, because that means that all we have to do, we're just one successful or semi-successful person away from networking to get our shot into being into that orbit.
Yes.
And then we'll just get jobs based off that networking.
I think
circle.
We need to move to Vancouver.
Yeah, I think so, because that's where it seems like all this stuff is happening.
Yeah. Because that's where this movie was shot.
Unfortunately, Vancouver is very expensive to live in.
Yeah.
But,
and I think it's kind of hard to become a Canadian citizen.
It is very hard to become a Canadian citizen. So
I guess we're stuck here in Trump land. Anyways, Chris Klein's character of Ben gets hit in the balls.
Yep.
As the title Breaking Balls suggests.
Why was he not wearing a cup? That's what I want to know.
Most AAA baseball players I know of wear cups, I'm pretty sure.
Anyone. I wore a cup when I played Little League.
Yeah.
Even. I mean, come on. It's only
I think
smart
I
and
think
safe.
I wore a cup when I that week I played T-ball.
I mean, yeah.
That week I played T-ball.
The week, yeah.
Yes.
Well, you never know. You can accidentally hit the ball, and it can ricochet and then hit you right there. So
I played t-ball for a week, Matt.
That's cool.
It's a a great career, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then I got chicken pox, and I had to sit out the rest of the season.
That sucks. Wow. Benchwarmers 3, breaking pox.
No. Yes.
No.
That'll be the story of my life. Yeah. I could have been a Major League Baseball player, but I got chicken pox.
And then that was, T-ball.
We're going to build a time machine. Here's the story.
Okay.
We build a time machine. We go back and we find 5-year-old Mikey or 6-year-old Mikey or whatever I was. Mm-hmm. And we're like, hey, you know, don't go hang out with that kid who has chicken pox.
Nope.
Because he or she's going to give you chicken pox. I don't know who gave it to me. I'm not really sure. It was probably just going around the school. And then, or my friends or whatever. And then I got it and I had to spend most of the summer with chicken pox. And now I have a little scar in the middle of my forehead because of it, because I picked at a scab.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, yeah. So there's always that, man. You know? Yeah. So what were we talking about?
Benchwarmers too.
Oh, okay. Balls. Yeah. So, don't steal my time-traveling chickenpox film idea, folks, if you listen to this.
Don't do it, because we have it on recording right here that started here.
Yes.
The idea came from here.
Yes. So. And, if I go to the theaters and I see a time-traveling chickenpox movie, now that just sounds like chickenpox or time-traveling.
Yep.
Okay. Anyways,
Wow.
So he gets hit in the balls, and then he basically loses his career. And little note, the announcer at the minor league baseball game that he's playing is played by Jonathan Silverman.
Okay.
Yeah. Who used to have he had a lot of success in the 80s and 90s as an actor, and obviously he's gone far to become the announcer in Benchwarmers 2, Breaking Balls. In one scene.
Hey, well, he's still going. He's not going to allow, you know.
I loved Jonathan Silverman. Well, I thought he was hilarious. He's a great actor. And I'm just like, why are you in this movie?
Sometimes when you get knocked down, you have to get up again. You know, and maybe that
never going to keep you down.
Maybe that bench warmer. Maybe he's going to pull up on that bench and that's going to take him to new heights. I don't know.
Yes.
Chumbawamba.
Anyways, Chris Klein, who I also love, by the way. I do. I really like Chris Klein as an actor. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he and John Lovitz are probably the saving graces of this film.
Yeah.
Because I love John Lovitz. I Lovitz him.
You love it's the John Lovitz.
Yes. Yep. Okay, so he gets hit in the balls. He his wife is pregnant at the time, too. And so then he ends up, getting a divorce. The kid grows up. He becomes a lawn care maintenance guy.
Yeah, like a guard, like just mowing
grass,
whatever,
and stuff.
Trimming,
yeah.
You know, bushes or whatever. And it's like, you know, one of those stereotypical movies where, you know, the ex-wife is bitter because her husband, you know, wasn't a huge success, and you know, denigrates him for having like a regular job. You know,
and you basically realize she didn't really love him. She was only with him for the success and the money. And
a lot of these movies have this kind of like trope of like the, you know, the girlfriend slash wife is. But I don't know, because he did mention his kid, though, when he was talking about like for like a few years he was like just like drinking a lot, not really, you know what I mean? So like there may have been more to the story, but since it's called Benchwarmers 2, Breaking Balls, they really couldn't get into like character depth really for that kind of a movie, so it just kind of glossed over like, for a few years I was kind of drinking and not really doing anything, so maybe I don't know though, but like when he got hit in the balls first, though, she was like, oh fuck, like, which kind of like made it like foreshadowing it, she was gonna leave him because
she was gonna be,
so I don't know. Again, it's called Benchwarmers 2, Breaking Balls. I'm not sure if they put too much thought into like relationship issues and how that actually comes across on screen.
Or writing of any kind.
Of writing, yeah, exactly.
Anyways, no offense, Mr. Mazur.
Sorry.
Anyways, I did enjoy Liar Liar.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Okay, anyways, So he ends up getting his passing the bar. which they made a really bad joke about when he tells his wife that, oh, I passed the bar. And she's like, oh, that's the first time or something like that. You know, you passed. He's like, no, I didn't pass by a bar. I passed the bar. Blah, 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 blah. Ba-dee-doo-doo-doo-doo. Anyways.
Yeah, that was a terrible joke.
So he goes and he applies for jobs everywhere. Nobody wants to hire him because he got his degree online or something.
Yeah, UCLO. Yeah.
And then he ends up getting hired by this really fancy law firm that is run by Lachlan Monroe's character, who is named...
I never got his name.
Oh, they say it because it's Stenhouse. Oh,
that's right, Stenhouse.
Yeah, because Stenhouse and Gray is the name of the law firm he runs. And he gets hired, and he finds out later on that he was just hired basically to play softball for them, for their softball team, as a ringer in the softball team. And so then he quits or gets fired. He gets fired because he tries to hit a ball, but he can't hit it because he's having PTSD from his getting hit in the balls.
Yeah, ball breaking experience.
Yes. And so then he goes to a bar and is going to get drunk, but he doesn't. He ends up dumping the drink he orders down the drain.
And he just wanted to go to a bar and pretend
to wallow in his self.
Yeah.
And then John Lovitz is there as his character from the original Benchwarmers, which I'm sure everybody remembers fondly.
I kind of sort of do.
Because I'm just... Okay. I kind of get doing a sequel to a successful movie that everybody loves. Benchwarmers was a decent movie. It's not the most memorable movie in John Lovett's career or anybody else that was involved in that film's career. Why make a sequel to that movie? I don't get.
Yeah, and also why, if everyone in Benchwarmers 1, like, used that victory to kind of like as like a springboard to, you know, become successful in their lives and careers, then what was John Lovitz's character still being kind of like somewhat down and out? Even though he's like a billionaire, he's like,
yeah,
he's still kind of like a sad sack person. So what, how come he didn't use that as like a springboard? You know,
no, I know.
It's called Benchwarmers 2 Breaking Balls. So there's not much, you know, character death in these kind of movies. And I mean it quite literally because there is so much overacting in this movie. I mean, it's like asinine.
It's really high.
It's terrible.
I blame that on direction more than anything, in a lot of ways, allowing that to happen. And no offense, Mr. Rosenbaum.
I'm sorry.
I
say this stuff because I hate myself mainly, because I wish I was in your position right now, being able to actually write or direct movies and get paid for them, even if they are like cheesy, stupid movies. I don't even do that. So it's really about me. It's not about you.
And to the people out there, if you want to make a Benchwarmers 3, Matt and I are more than happy to write it and direct it for you. Just make sure we have John Lovitz on board and we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to have anybody else. We'll get John Lovitz. We'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We can make do with one actor who's known. And everyone else can be no name or just people off the street even.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hey, can you recite a line? There you go. Cool.
Yep.
We can make it work.
We'll make a good movie for you.
We will.
So if you're out there listening, hire us. We've got some ideas. I mean, hell, we could do the chicken pox.
There you go.
The chicken pox time travel idea. I mean, you know, Sandlot 3 was about time travel, so why not make Benchwarmers 3 about time travel? Anyways, we're gonna so what else happened in this? You know, we got
he John Lovitz hires him to work at his firm that he inherited from like a lawsuit or something like that.
Yeah,
he's the owner of a law firm. He's not a lawyer himself.
Called Schmood
and Ass. Well, yeah. Associates, but
yes.
And graciously, he hires him to also be a lawyer as well as a manager of the softball team.
Don't forget their tagline though too for the law firm.
What was it?
Don't get sued. Get Schmood.
That's right. Don't get sued. Yeah. Okay. So he gets like a really shitty office that's like tiny. He can't even like walk around. He has to like climb over his desk just to get into a seat. It's like a closet, literally. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that he actually hired him to be a lawyer, is in addition to being the softball coach.
Pretty sure his office is a fire hazard.
It was. Well, it is. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, come on. If anyone saw that, that was not up to code at all, and they get sued. But anyway, so he ends up managing their softball team. Of course, they're no good, and everyone's overacting, like just a complete caricature.
Yeah, they're all like crazy and wacky people.
Like, I mean, it's like the ragtag bunch of, you know, misfits, but it's like nobody ever acts that way at all.
There's a guy in a scooter
who's there just because he wants to dodge rush hour traffic.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to drive during rush hour, so he's just going to hang out and practice or whatever. There's the woman that thinks she's pregnant with a dead guy's baby.
There's a hot chick.
Oh, of course.
Who's offended by everything.
But the
joke is everything she says
is accidentally an innuendo. Yeah. When she's talking about, like, taking a big load and her back's up against the wall, and then he says, "What's your favorite position?" And then she slaps him. So that's like, of course, that's like the angry feminist mm-hmm. trope, but who also says sexual things but doesn't know it. But she's super hot, so it's weird. I don't know. Whatever. I'm not even sure what they're going for, but it's just stupid. And she joins the team later on, I think. And then
there's a Sikh guy named who says he's sick and not Sikh.
He says he's sick.
He pronounces it sick instead of Sikh.
I think sometimes people can pronounce it.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but his name's Kashmir.
Because one of my friends in high school, he said something like, this friend of his, he said she's sick. I asked her, you know, what was wrong with her. He goes, no, she's not sick. She's sick.
And they did the same joke in this movie.
Yeah. That literally happened to me in high school. Because I was wondering, because I saw her walking around, like, she seems healthy to me.
Good
old Prakash. He was a cool dude.
Anyways, we're gonna keep you on your toes here, feet. We're gonna keep you on your toes here, feet. Matt, what's wrong with me?
I don't know what's wrong with any of us.
We're gonna keep you. Keep you glued here, people. We got to take a little break here for a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back here with All Too Real 2.
All right.
Any day, Paul.
I'm ready. When you need magical appraisal, you won't find a wizard as wizened as Wizard Quaff.
The world is expendable in the grand scale of my hatred for creatures beyond my understanding. And you, Magus Elgar.
Even if he has some peculiar preferences.
Abominations! Curb your tongue! Lest you uncork my lust for opiates!
You can hear Wizard Quaff and his exciting adventures in the upcoming radio comedy, Magus Elgar. Visit MagusElgar.com to download your copy today.
Okay, we're back. Those were some good ads, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
I like them.
Don't get sued, get schmooed.
Yeah.
They weren't one of our sponsors.
No, because they're a fictional company, but...
Yeah.
But
anyways, so he's managing this team. Then there's a random law case going on that takes up way too much of the movie.
I'm like forgotten everything that's happened in this movie just because of how stupid it is. Yeah. So help me try to.
It's like, you know how they sometimes say with like Chinese food, you eat it and then like an hour later you're hungry.
Yeah,
that's how I feel after this movie. Like an hour later, I forgot I watched.
You forgot everything.
Yeah,
yeah. And for me, Chinese food is mainly 2 or 3 hours. But you know, yeah, I get still, it.
You know,
I mean?
I get
the gist of it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's because a lot of it's not very high in protein.
Yes.
You got the rice, which is the carbohydrate. I'm getting into stupid stuff here. But yes. Anyways, I'm getting off topic. We need to focus. All right, so focus on the bench warmers to breaking balls.
Yes.
And so he's starting to like what he's doing. And then his son is like proud of him because he's actually like caring about something for like the first time ever.
Yeah.
And then he brought his son to help him because his son's like a math wizard. So he brought his son, who's like only like 7 years old or whatever.
Yeah, and his son's kind of hanging out with Mel, who is John Lovett's character's daughter. Yes. Who's named Mel Jr.
And she's kind of like a Addams Family type of... Who was the girl from Addams Family?
Wednesday Addams.
She's kind of like, sort of like, I mean, not exactly.
In a way, she's kind of gothy.
She reminds me of her.
And she's very dark, but she's overacting. And,
again, yeah. they're all of them. So he's like 7 or 8 or whatever, and he's helping basically like do stats for like the players, like who's, you know, who's got the best hits, who's whatever to kind of, that's basically his job. So he's liking that, you know, working with his dad. And once they start getting some new players, they start, you know, winning more games and they're really enjoying it. And then, like Mike said, the court case involves some sewage thing where the guy who coaches the Stetson and whatever.
Yeah, they're trying to make a plant, build a plant there or something, is what it is. And it'll end up tearing down the town that that Smoot is located in, which is the hometown of the of this like intern lawyer that's working at the Associates, who's played by Chelsea Reist. I don't know how you say her name, but her name is Annie.
Okay.
And she's kind of the love interest for Chris Klein's character, you know, which you could tell the moment she walked on screen that mm-hmm. that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was so obvious. Like, they just exchanged that look or whatever. And so then things go awry when this case happens, because she grew up from there. She wants to make it so it doesn't happen. So they go talk to the mayor, who is a massage therapist, who is strongly implied gives her customer a happy ending, and she's mayor of the town.
Yeah.
And it's a really crappy looking business, and the whole street looks like shit. And yeah. So then she's like, I'm not going to help you.
Of course, Stenhouser is the opposing lawyers, by the way.
Yeah, he's the guy who's the lawyer for this. So then now the movie becomes a mystery about a missing file. So they have to search for this missing file because the engineer signed off on like a different plan called like something number A, but the one that they had was B. So they're trying to find the one that says A, and they can't find it because the file's missing. And then the guy who wrote it told the guy who works at the place to lie about it. So then they lie about it, and then they come back. I sound like Trump now when he was talking about, and we're going to go to Supreme Court, and then they're going to say we can't go, and then we're going to build a wall, and then we're going to go back to Supreme Court. It's like a B-flat the entire fucking time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Trump could actually sing. It was literally a B-flat.
Yeah.
I'm the worst president in the United States history. I know we're not supposed to talk politics on the show, but I really thought that speech was interesting. Anyway, so
it was. Anyways,
and
but basically what happens then, you know, we got the law thing going on, you know, the whole court case thing. There's this file missing. They pretend to find the file, where there's this annoying file clerk there too, who is in on the thing. Is helping Stenhouser. For some reason.
No, explain why.
Probably money. And because government's corrupt.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yep.
Speaking of Trump. Anyways, sorry folks, don't want to alienate my right-wing listeners here. The whole thing sucks. Anyways,
this movie's terrible, guys.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Please don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather watch Without a Pedal.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
Four times more than this.
Because it actually had some humor to it.
Yeah.
Decent humor, rather, not just stupid overacting.
The only thing that makes this movie even palatable. Whoa. that was a weird word. Anyways, is Chris Klein and John Lovitz, basically. I mean... And Lachlan Monroe, who's usually a good actor, is way overacting in this, too. And, I mean, I just don't get it. It's weird. I mean, I'm sure all these people are good actors. They're just not bringing it.
They're not utilized correctly. So
in the end, we'll just boil it down to the end.
Good, because I don't want to talk about this whole movie.
So in the end, they end up there. There's this big baseball. I mean, big championship softball game.
Mm-hmm.
John Lovitz in the middle of it ends up making a bet that that'll basically mean that the town will not be destroyed.
Yeah.
And if the Benchwarmers win the game against the Stenhouser douchebags. I don't know what their team mascot is.
Cobras,
I'm just
going to
call
think.
Them the douchebags. Yeah. Anyways, the so in the end they win.
But don't forget the fact that his ace in the hole was helicoptering pitcher that pitched and broke his balls.
Yeah. He paid him like, I think it was like $20,000 for an hour to be there to throw a pitch at Chris Klein's balls. Anyways, the one chick goes into labor, and so then they had to bring in a new player at one point. Oh no, they brought in a new pitcher because the pitcher stopped pitching. They brought in the one new player, which was Ben himself, Chris Klein's character.
Yeah.
And then they also brought in a new pitcher, which was the Annie lawyer that hadn't, you know, because we found out earlier. And there's a scene earlier in the movie where Chris Klein's character and Chelsea Rice's character have sex.
Of course.
And we find out that she was like a professional softball player or something before she got into law.
Yeah, she has like this shrine of statues hidden away. Oh, by the way.
And a whole room just dedicated to that.
Even though she says that it's not for her, yet she has all of her statues or trophies. And
if there was something I was trying to forget, I don't think I'd keep them in a room.
Oh, of course you wouldn't. You would have a whole shrine. But, you know, that makes sense, right? When you're trying to forget something, you just have it.
Yeah, like all the shrines I have to my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Wait, do you?
No, okay. I'm joking.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that.
I was just saying, if there's something I'm trying to forget, I'm not going to build a shrine to it. Anyways.
So by the way, talk about the overacting again. So next time that you wake up after making love with your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, and you have to pee, please make sure that you announce and sing song to yourself that you have to go to the bathroom.
While you're in the hall. Gotta find a bathroom. Gotta find a bathroom. Gotta pee. Gotta find a bathroom. Gotta pee. Gotta find a bathroom. Gotta pee.
If you don't do that, that means you don't have to really go to the bathroom. You gotta make sure that you hold your private area and squirm around and sing song about having to go to the bathroom. You gotta announce it to someone, some ghost, spirit, something.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I've done that.
I mean, your bathroom's like literally right next door, you know, to
my bedroom.
So that's kind of
But yeah, I still can't find it ever. Okay. It's weird. In my own apartment.
Wow.
I can walk out of the bathroom and I mean the bedroom and I'm somehow out in the hallway of the apartment building. It's weird. I don't know what the hell, you know. And I end up having to use the neighbor's bathroom.
Well, that's weird.
What?
Huh?
Hey?
I don't think you have community bathrooms.
No.
Good. That would be kind of fucked. It's not a dorm. God, community bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but dorms. So that's how he finds So that's how he finds out about the trophies, because when he was looking for the bathroom, somehow
he opened up the other room.
That's what it was. And he found all these softballs with like sitting on top of like golden gloves or statues
trophies,
whatever. Yeah. Like pins, not pins, what are they called? Banners, not banners. Like, you know, when like a pig wins an award, it's like a circle with like a flag on it, kind of. Not
ribbon?
Ribbon, there you go. A bunch of ribbons.
Like when a pig wins an award.
Well, you know what I'm talking about? Like when they have like the best pig or whatever.
At the state fair or something.
You know what I mean? a bunch of ribbons. And then he like, again, with the overacting, he like angrily like goes into a room and like shouts and wakes her up, like antagonizing her about lying to him about not playing softball. I'm like, dude, why would anyone be beholden to tell you that they played softball in their life?
Couldn't you just
wait
until she woke up in the morning and talk to her about it? That's my thing. I mean, I'm sorry, but if somebody woke me up in the middle of the night and accused me of playing softball, I think I'd be like, fuck are you talking about?
So she kicks him out of the house, her house, for being an asshole. And then he's like, I still have to pee. And like you said, what did you say after he said that? I still have to pee.
Oh, I can't. What did
you
I say?
Like, you said like she never knew that you had to pee at
all. That's true. Yeah, he announced it to himself, not to her. So she had no idea he had to pee. As far as she knew, he was just snooping around her house.
Yeah.
I mean, I
would kick him out if he was doing that.
Yeah.
Going into secret trophy rooms.
Like I fall asleep, you know, if I were to have a, you know, a lady friend over and I fall asleep, I don't want her snooping in the drawers and the doors of my apartment. I don't have really many rooms in my apartment, so it's not like she could find a trophy room.
What if she went to that closet right there and just was snooping around whatever?
Yeah, she'd find some shoes and some board games and some coats.
I was going to say board games, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then she'd be like, I can't believe it. You play Monopoly.
Do you have apples to apples in there?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. We should play it sometime.
Yeah, we should.
How many people do you need to play?
I think more than two.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because pretty much if you only have two, then
it's going to be...
You kind of guess who the other person put down the card is.
Yeah, kind of defeats the purpose. Remember that time... Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Remember that time when we were going to play apples to apples and it was this big... And then the person said that... They said they didn't have it, so we went to the store to buy it,
and then
to find out, like, oh, I guess I do have it, because he didn't want to.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't say. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I remember that. Do you remember the time we played apples to apples when we were in college together, and we played it at the there was like an interfaith thing.
Yeah.
And Matt was like gaining was winning at one point. And he's like, what did you say? You're like, oh, they don't call me the comeback kid.
They don't call me the comeback kid for nothing.
And then I was just like, no one in your life has ever called you that. and I made the Catholic and the Muslim people laugh. That was great.
That was awesome. I love that. That was such a cool thing. And then, and of course, you know, I unbeknownst to me, that the Catholic girl was kind of flirting with me, but since I'm an idiot, I don't know how to read any kind of language.
Oh, yeah.
I just totally botched that. We could have been married by now, probably, if I, you know.
In an alternate timeline.
Well, in an alternate timeline, yeah. I don't even know her name anymore.
It's the same alternate timeline where I didn't get chicken pox when I was
playing.
Right,
see? See, we got to write this movie.
So basically, then, they win this game at the end.
Yeah, they win.
And so everybody's happy. They kiss and the movie ends. And
I still think we're missing something that's so important. And we need to fill these holes. Oh, get it? With the innuendos.
Oh, yeah.
Because of like the fifth
fight. She
actually
said that at one point.
She does. She
said she was flexible. And
something about flexible and gapes. And I mean, it was like, it's hard to count how many.
It was so bad.
It was. It was such an overacting. Anyway,
the thing is, you can do the innuendos with somebody and they don't realize they're saying them in a good way. Like on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the character of Charles Boyle does that a lot. Well, he'll say something that is completely an innuendo and he doesn't realize that it's an innuendo or it means something else. You know, he'll just say that, you know, it's like we can both get the guy off.
Right.
You know, something like that, which is one thing, but if you just like pile it on and on and on and on and on with a bunch of them all in like 5 seconds.
Well, she's talking about like gaping holes and taking a massive load and her back up against the wall. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Like it's not even trying to hide it. Mm-hmm. And then of course, like when she gets offended, when he's like, well, what's your favorite position? I don't mean to harp on that thing, but like that's such a motif of like the, ooh, the offended feminist, thinks everything's about sex, but you get it? Everything she says is about sex. Isn't that funny? It's like, it's kind of lazy and stupid, but whatever. And especially in 2019, I can understand like in 2002 when Slapshot 2 was made.
Yeah.
But this is 17 years after that, and they're still doing this? Come on. Like, find another way to be funny, please.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, anyways, let's take another break for a word from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and maybe look at some reviews online and stuff and see what other people might have thought of this movie.
Okay.
Threesomes.
Any day, Paul.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
When you need magical appraisal, you won't find a wizard as wizened as Wizard Quaff.
The world is expendable in the grand scale of my hatred for creatures beyond my understanding. And you, Magus Elgar.
Even if he has some peculiar preferences.
Abominations! Curb your tongue, lest you uncork my lust for opiates!
You can hear Wizard Quaff and his exciting adventures in the upcoming radio comedy, Magus Elgar.
Visit MagusElgar.com to download your copy today.
Okay, and we are back. Back from break.
Back from the break.
And now it's time to break balls. Anyways, the Internet Movie Database only has 3 reviews for this movie because it's a recent film. And so I'm going to read them all.
All right, do it, man.
Okay.
Let's do it.
The first one is a very short one, 1 out of 10, from Goxgitxit.
Okay.
I'm trying to say their username. Goxgitxit. And I don't know why I'm saying it with like a Russian accent or something there, but it's like, man. It's got to be. Anyways, sequel rule number one. Keep the actors that made the original good, missing important people, and put in bad replacements. I don't know what that meant. Okay, and now here's the second one, which is from Cicada. I think I'm making everything sound like I'm a Klingon or something. Because it all sounds like Klingon, doesn't it? Cicada.
I don't know. I don't really know how Klingon sounds.
It's pretty much how Klingon sounds. Anyways, so this one, it says, an easy-to-like movie, 9 out of 10 stars. Benchwarmers 2, Breaking Balls, is a hoot to watch and laugh with.
Mm.
This movie works because from start to finish, each actor comes across as taking their role to heart, but not seriously. In other words, they each did their best to have fun and that makes it fun for the audience. The plot is charming, each character is engaging, and the dialogue is spot on for the story. It's every bit as... And that had an exclamation point at the end of it for some odd reason. Okay, it's every bit as good as the original and a must-see lighthearted comedy to brighten your day.
Is it lighthearted, really?
Yeah, I don't know. And then here's the last one from Zizkox. I'm determined now I'm just going to read everybody's username like I'm a Klingon from now on. Okay.
Okay.
Anyways, I don't know how annoying that'll get. I'll probably forget by the next time we record. Anyways.
Probably will.
Okay. This one is an 8 out of 10. And it says, these movies are likable. These movies are funny and likable, but I truly wonder if the creators actually know that fast pitch and slow pitch are two different sports. That's all they had to say. They're criticizing, of everything you could criticize in this movie, they're criticizing the actual softball that was played in the film.
Wow. What a great eye for detail there. So it's not the overacting teammates, the guy who looks up in the sky for Monica, who cheated on him with some other guy.
Oh, yeah, some stereotypical Hispanic guy.
And he's always looking up to the sky as though she's dead, but she's not dead. She's alive.
She appears in the film.
So what, after she cheated with him, does she just become an ethereal spirit that lives in the sky now?
And then you've got, like a stereotypical Canadian
Who drinks too much. Yeah. But, you know, none of that. No, it's because they used a fastball, not a softball.
And my favorite scene in the whole thing is when the Canadian passes out and the ump says, I think he's dead. And then Chris Klein's like, no, he's just Canadian.
Yeah, I did not even get that at first.
Me either.
I was like, what does that even mean?
I said,
it's like someone's like, that guy sure loves to eat clam chowder. Does he like clam chowder? No, he's just Australian. Okay, I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
So,
my analogies aren't good.
I think you just like clam chowder.
Yeah, I do.
I hate it. Anyways, okay, so I've got just one question before we wrap this shindig up. If you could make a sequel to any sports film, what film would it be? And what would the sequel be called?
Oh, let's see here. Any sports film. Well, some of them already have sequels. Let's see here.
It could even be one that already has a sequel and you want to make like a third or a fourth one.
Third, fourth. I would say... Damn, I wish I watched enough sports movies. I'm trying to... I'm jog my mind a little bit. Give me some ideas of sports films.
Oh, there's Major League. There's Rudy. There's I don't know. Slapshot. There's
we already did Slapshot.
Mighty Ducks. Too. There's
they made a few Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Damn it. oh God. Please, I gotta come up with like a funny title. All right. Okay, I think I've got one right now. All right, so you know the great classic Air Bud films, right?
Yes.
About the dog that can play basketball, soccer. I got one I think would be cool about where Buddy, as he is colloquially known, is now doing Russian roulette. It's Air Bud 15, wag the trigger, baby.
Okay.
Doesn't make any sense, but...
No. I've got a couple of really dark ones based on true films.
Yeah.
Okay. The first one would be Rudy selling cars, and because I'm pretty sure that's what Rudy Rediger ended up doing after a while. He was selling cars.
Hey man.
I mean, no
makes
no big,
some good money.
But it'd be an interesting sequel, you know, him as a car salesman.
It's just about him being a car salesman.
Yes.
It's not actually. Hold on. After you're done with that, I got another Air Bud one. I think I sent this to you once a long time ago, actually.
Okay. And let me think of another one here too, really quick.
Let's take a. Want to take another break?
Nah, we don't need another break. That's cool. I can think of it really quick. Well, I think I got another dark one. So
all right,
this one would be a really dark movie. It would just be called Radio Dead Air. It would just be his funeral for like 2 hours. Sorry.
That's bad.
It's really bad.
That's bad.
So
most funerals don't even last for 2 hours.
I know. Maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's for like real ones. And I was thinking, like, you know, like I'm saying, I still want to do those. I think that the cutting edge movies need to become horror films eventually, and you just start slashing people with ice skates. Because I think that would be good.
I like that. I still like mine. Cutting Edge 7. Seven blades for seven brothers.
Yes, I like it too.
And that could be a double meaning.
That could be like let's say the female figure skater. Every time she doesn't like one of the guys that tries out, like the seven brothers all try out to be her her partner. And every time she doesn't like one of them, she just slits
and throws or stabs in the back with a skate. Yeah,
yes,
exactly. It's perfect. I like it.
I'd watch that movie. Okay, so anyways, I think that's all we got for today. I'm running low
need some more caffeine.
Yeah, running low on some Faygo Moon Mist.
Me too. But you were gonna ask me one more question. You always ask me after every single one.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey Matt.
Yeah.
Would you recommend this movie to anybody?
I would absolutely not recommend this movie to anyone. I'll tell you why. Okay, I was waiting for you to ask me that question. Okay, like I literally forced you to. But I would rather have John Heder proselytize the Church of Latter-day Saints for me every single day for 10,000 years as the character of Napoleon Dynamite in the most inopportune location in terms of climate, economy, and recreation than to watch this movie ever again in my entire life.
That's a strong stance.
It's a very strong
stance. That's a very strong, strong stance. I would probably just watch this movie again as opposed to having that happen to me. I'm just saying.
That's fine, but
you know,
because I liken it. I could probably get used to John Heder talking to me about that, so I could probably find some kind of pleasure in that. So, you know, you find something that you can like about something
so John Heder, if you're listening,
Heder, not Heder, sorry,
is it Heder or Heder?
I don't know. I always
whichever it is,
it doesn't matter.
But John, sir, if you're listening and would like to take Matthew up on his proposition here, he's willing to do that as opposed to watching the sequel to a movie you were in.
Yeah, because the first
because you
one,
weren't in the sequel.
You were in the first one.
If you were in the sequel, it might have been a better movie.
You're actually good in the first one.
Yes.
So, and again,
I honestly don't remember the first one much.
I don't either, but I remember he was okay in it, and so was everyone else in the movie. But and the thing is, they didn't overact to the point of just being a complete caricature in that movie either.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I'm not really opposed to hearing you talk about your religion, So, you know, go ahead and talk to me about it for 10,000 years. I'm okay with that. I probably won't convert, but I'd like to know more about it and become sort of academically aware of it and become somewhat of a scholar of it. And then, who knows? That can actually come from something can come from that, and we can create a school and teach people, and then, you know, make money, and then that way we could further the economy from the bad place that has a bad economy.
Maybe you could make a sequel to Saturday's Warrior.
What's that?
It's a great Mormon film that everyone should watch someday. It's a cheesy musical. It's quite possibly one of the most amazing films I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
And I'm saying that all sarcastically. But anyways, yeah, I would rather watch Saturday's Warrior than watch this movie again.
Cool.
Okay. Anyways, be sure to check us out on social media. Share this with your friends, you know, and if you can, review us wherever you review people like us and these podcast things out there in the interwebs.
The series of tubes.
The tubes. There's tubes?
Series of tubes. That's what the internet is, isn't it? It's a series of tubes.
Sure.
Yeah. That's what the guy who was in charge of the internet in the government, like, in 2006 said. He said the internet was a series of tubes.
Again, I love our government.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They're so smart and amazing. And if they're listening to this podcast, don't kill me. Anyways, so we'll be back maybe next time with more All Too Real 2. And until then, sayonara. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.